Okay. We're wrong. Romans 1, left off in verse 18. 3 weeks ago. 118, Paul is writing to the Romans, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." We'll read down afterwards. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to meet again, to study your word. We pray as we go forward in the book of Romans that your truth might be evident to us, that it might come forth unhindered, that we might realize what you're trying to get over in the text to us as it pertains to your purpose and plan, not only as Paul's writing to the Romans, but how it applies to us as members of your body. We thank you for all those who are here, for those who may have wanted to be here. And we pray for those who have no concern or desire at all. We pray for the body universal, that you might strengthen us all according to our needs. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Well, obviously, we've been out for a while. I had time to, meditate. I didn't do a whole lot of extra reading, but you know, when Paul's writing to the Romans, I think it's a good idea to, you want to know why he's writing. I know we went over that, but he said it was to establish them, right? But even with that, is what his establishing is even when you get to chapter 16, he says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery." So we know the verses. But you know, I thought, what does that really mean? Not just to the Romans, but even to us, when you talk about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. You might as well be asking the guy, what does purloining mean? That's the inside joke. But you want to know what that is. And this is, you know, I'm thinking, we talked about this before we get into the 18. There's only two things going on. And that is where God is, he's setting up his kingdom, whether it's the heavenly kingdom or the earthly kingdom. He's reconciling both of those realms to himself. And he's using us to do it. Members of his body to do it. Whether it's the Jews or whether it's the body of Christ. So the two words that we talked about is the two main words when he's talking about establishing the believers. Everything that he writes is going to be related to these two things. It is the reconciliation and the image. He said, what do you mean? This is what God is doing and who he's doing it with. Those are the only two things in question. Now, as you go out, as you start to read and to expand on those things, he gives a lot of details. God gives a lot of details concerning what he's doing and who he's doing it with. And so you go through those, whether it's Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon, those two things are always in play. Those men, you know what a mosaic is? Not the Mosaic Law, but the mosaic, like a picture. Or a collage. What you have in those men are snapshots of the image until the image comes, the T-H-E, capital E, comes and enables all to be the image. That's why what Paul said is that them he called, them he also justified, them he also glorified, because he has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. We already know. That's the moment you get saved, guess you are already seated in heavenly places. Because he's already determined the end. He's predetermined that all those who trust him, the members of his body, will be conformed to the image of his Son.
That's why the Lord says, I've not lost anyone that's been.
It doesn't matter what program it is. For example, we're going to get started here. He says to the 12, he says, you that have forsaken all for me, he says, what do we get? And he says that you'll sit with me on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, that's their job. That is what's going to happen in the kingdom. Word of the Lord will go out from Jerusalem, and those 12 are part of his council. So, all I said that was just groundwork. When you get to Romans, Paul he's going to speak to the Romans and us. When he talks about establishing them, he wants them to realize what God is doing and who he's doing it with. And they are the ones on stage. Not just the Romans, but the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians, the Thessalonians, all those who are members of the body of Christ and that are on the forefront. It's our, we'll say, our time to shine. Their time to shine. So when you go to Romans, which is predominantly a Gentile message because Paul's apostle to Gentiles, he goes to them and he's explaining where they are in God's program. Look at verse. Well, we already covered that. I'm not going to go all the way back to chapter 1, but he talks about his apostleship, and he tells them that he wants to establish them, that is, that he would be comforted together by the mutual faith. And then he talks about the wrath of God, where we left off at, being revealed from heaven against all, what? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And the question, why is God upset? He says there's men who hold the truth, they're ungodly, and they're unrighteous. And they hold the truth in unrighteousness. These men, they're not worshiping, and they're not serving. So you know that means that they're not what? They're not the image. See, there's a lot involved when we talk about the image of God. We just haven't covered it properly. That's my fault. But there's all these things. It's not just the person, what you look like. It's a position. There's a lot of things that go along with it. And there's words in Scripture. When you start to read Scripture, you see, like, for example, where it says Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Just little things that the Lord clues you in on. So Noah ends up going into the ark, right? And when he lands, he gets out, and God gives him instruction. God gives him instruction. He says, now you go out, and those 8 people with you, do what? He says, multiply, be fruitful. Multiply, replenish the earth. Sound familiar? Well, who was Adam?
Sorry, God.
What else? He was made in what?
Death.
Yeah. See, the only problem with those after Adam,
they're born in his image.
They're wrong image. Which means they're never going to properly see, they're just part of the mosaic. They're just shadows and types of the true image. So those men, they all have something that they're shining the light towards Christ. For example, Moses would say this, the Lord will raise up a prophet. Well, because Moses, how about that? That was being a mosaic or a composite or a shadow or a type. He says he's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. Him you need to hear. Moses, the deliverer. Moses, so he says the truth that God is revealing this. There you go. See? Keep going and it's all there. He says, but the truth of God, but the God has revealed this, his wrath, his displeasure against all ungodliness and unrighteousness for men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For, you know, here's a man, kinda. I can do better than that. I'm drawing a man here. Okay. This is just for accommodation. That's his hand. In his hand is truth. And I'm saying that figuratively. He's got the truth of God. And when God says you have the truth of God, to use it, to walk in it, if you don't walk in it, then God says, my displeasure, I will show you that I'm displeased with it. Anytime, if God is angry or upset with, he'll let those people or that person know. He always gives a message. It doesn't catch you by surprise. It won't catch them by surprise. That's why he says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Well, where's God? He reveals it. It's going to be in a message, whether it's vision, revelation, whether it's written. He's going to let you know that you're accountable for the truth that he's given you. He says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has showed it unto them. He says, that which may be known. Well, what may be, what is God saying? That which may be known. He says, because that which may be known, or that which may be comprehended, that which may be known of God, he said, is manifest. It's manifest in them. He said, is manifest in them. We said, well, that should be two. But if it's to you and you're able to perceive it, you're able to see it and perceive it, then it's in you. Are you? Okay. And he says, well, the man would say, what is it? What have you revealed to me? What did he reveal to man? He says, that which may be known of God is revealed, is manifest in them. He says, what is it? He says, even my eternal power and Godhead. Huh? There's a verse. He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For, this is how he's telling you how he revealed it to him. For is the particle for further explanation. Amplification. He says, that which may be known. Do you want to know God? He says, that which may be known of God, he says, is revealed. Revealed in him. It's revealed to him. It's revealed in him. He says, for the invisible things of the creation are what? They're clearly seen. The invisible things are clearly seen. That's like saying I can see the air in this building right now. You know how I know there's air in the building?
You're breathing.
Because I'm breathing. It's what?
Demonstrous.
It's in me. In him we live and move and have our very being. I didn't wind myself up this morning like a top and go home and recharge again like you do your cell phone. You know, that's, they don't work on their own. There's a man who, you know, when you give me your phone, okay, here's a good example. Well, here's an example. Might not be a good example. I'm going to show you, when I put this up here, you're going to... Mm-hmm. What's that?
That's the Apple logo.
When I put that Apple logo on there, what do you think of?
iPhone, iPad.
Computers. Huh? Computers. You know what you should think about?
AAPL, that's the stock symbol.
AAP, she thinks of AAPL, stock. You know what you should think of that you don't?
Bill.
No, I'm sorry, not Bill Gates. Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
That's what you should think of.
He's the,
because he's the creator of it. You giving the object more relevance than the man who created it. You say, oh, Bill Gates, what a great mind to think of the iPhone and the iPad. But you know what you say? Oh, I gotta have the 6, 7. The 8, the 9, wherever we're at now, 10, what are we on now? But you never even think of this man. Do you? You worship and serve the creature more than the creator. that's just an example. But he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation are clearly seen. You know, there's a verse in Hebrews that says this. In Hebrews 1. It says, Hebrews 1. Yeah. He's speaking to the fathers in time past, but in his last days he has spoken to us by his son. Okay, Hebrews 1. What's that? More than that, let's see. But the truth is there. Hebrews 1, he says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, he says the invisible things of the creation are clearly seen. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So the invisible things, he says, are clearly seen.
Well, sort of like the debate we have today about evolution.
Right. What is he looking at?
He's looking up.
He's looking up. At the
sky.
At the sky. Okay. He says the invisible things of the creation, for the invisible things, God's eternal power and his Godhead is clearly seen in the creation. He says those invisible things. What invisible things? He said his eternal power and Godhead, his ability to uphold all things by his word. He says he upholds all things by the word of his power. In Colossians, he said this. This is about Jesus Christ. He is before all things. And by him, all things consist. He says he created the worlds and all those things that are in him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So you look up and you see. These are all chapter.
I'm already going with that.
All right, let's go there.
Deuteronomy.
Genesis, Exodus.
Oh,
that's a book. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Matter of fact, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, this is, I'm skipping to this because he gives Israel some information before they go into their to the land. Verse Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 15. Now when you read through here, I want you to, when you see a key word, it you know, some of these words just stand out to you. Take
this is the description back of that.
Okay. He says, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness, notice these things. When I said the key words that pick out, keyword number one. Okay. He says, unless you make a figure, any figure, the likeness of male or female, read that, the likeness of what?
Male or female.
Male or female, or any beast, or winged fowl,
or anything that creeps,
or anything that creeps,
or fish,
or
fish.
Any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him, listen, a people of what? A people of inheritance. A people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it. We should, but that's a lot of verses. But the gist of it is, the sense of it. He says, before we go in here to this inheritance, he said, before we go in here, I'm writing fast. I shouldn't, but you know what I'm writing. Before we go into this inheritance, right? Who's going into the inheritance? Oh man, I really want y'all to follow me. Who's going into the inheritance?
Israel of God.
Okay, the inheritance is what? Right. Okay, so who? He said, when you go in here, he said, you're my people. So when you go in here, don't do this. When you're going into the land, you're going to worship and serve me, right? He says, so when you go in here, don't get preoccupied and worship and serve any, don't make it any idol that you think I look like, whether it's male or female, right? Or if it's a beast of the earth, or fowl of the air, or a creeping thing, or any fish in the sea. He says, if you're going to worship and serve me, then worship and serve me. If I don't tell you, if I tell you how to do it, you do it that way. If I tell you how not to do it, don't do that. Because your whole aim is to what? Worship and serve me as the Creator. As I take you into this land. So, naturally, they go in. And we know the story. They begin to worship the host of heaven. He says, even if you look at the sun or the moon or the stars and you begin to worship them. Look, that's the nation of Israel, right? I know this might be too much cramming in, but you know, when he brought out of Egypt, he said, this is my
firstborn son.
Let him go, that he can go to this mountain. He says, it's my sanctuary. See where they went wrong at? Back to Romans 1. He says, so God has revealed this unto them. He says, because the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So they could look at...
So the Creator has to be above His creation.
We just use an example, right? So, okay. You know what that is?
An Android.
So
you communicated it.
Who made it? I don't know who made it, but see, we don't even think of it. We don't even think of it. That's bad. Yeah, we don't think. We see the See, but we know that they mean something. We know they stand for something. They know they embody maybe even a certain philosophy or capacity or ability to do things. But we never think about the Creator of it. So, he says, you should look up, and he says, and see God's eternal power and Godhead. Right? You know that somebody made these things, and they keep them in order, and they keep those things functioning. They're upholding it some kind of way. Even me. Acts 17. Mars Hill.
Twenty-two.
There you go. Then Paul, Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood up in. Okay, before we do that, 17:16. Now Paul, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city. Wholly given to idolatry. What does holy mean? Not H-O, it's not H-O-L-Y, it's W. H-O. Oh, y'all, yes. The city was wholly given to idolatry.
Or we can say perfect.
Perfect.
Perfectly given.
But in their case, they were completely. Yeah. Idolatry is the same thing. They're worshiping and serving an idol and not the true and living God. So, verse 22. He saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." What's the matter? Oh. In all things, you are too superstitious. Superstitious. He says, you're too... You're too reverent. Oh. Really, you're too reverent of the gods. You give an honor and worship service to any god, every god.
To the creation.
Just the God of this, and the God of that, and the God of that. And so they said, for I passed by, and I, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. He says, for God, or God, 24, that, here we are, he that did what? Made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily, possibly, perhaps by chance, they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So you see, even when Paul is talking to Athens, and he says, now, to the unknown God, whom you ignorantly worship. Remember I was telling you that before if he voices his displeasure, he always sends it, it's in the message before he drops the hammer. Well, I didn't say that, but that's, he's in Athens now. He says, the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In the next verses he says, for he hath appointed a day. In that day, in which he will judge. Judge what? The world by, or in, what did he say, in righteousness? He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath appointed. The real image. Yes. So, before I get too far down the line, he says the wrath of God is revealed. Because that which may be known of God, he said, it's manifest. They can look and see. If all that's going on there, do you think the birds and the animals, all those things that they begin to worship, do you think they go out and realize that it was the Creator?
That the animals do?
Do you?
They don't have a spirit.
That's what I'm getting at. They don't have the capacity. It's not in them. It's not revealed. The eternal power in Godhead. So, look, when Adam, when he's in the garden, right, and he's made in the image, that when I told you, there's more. It's not just he looks like that. There's something in him that allowed him to be able to relate to the Father, to the Creator, as his son.
And that's the spirit. That trichotomy of which the spirit is unique in humans.
You know, I'm just going to throw this in there because it's us here. Well, be on tape. No.
Oh, come on. Don't do that.
But he had, there was, it was in him right? Okay. Back in Genesis, this is just something. He says, I think I've done this before. He says he formed man from the dust of the earth, right? Mm-hmm. Breathed into his nostrils.
Breath of life.
And man became
a living soul.
Okay. So, right? His body, spirit, and he became a what? A living soul. Now, when Adam dies, I'm just going to read this verse and we'll get back to the Romans. Look at Leviticus. I want to show you something just interesting. I just read this in passing one day and it stuck with me. So, this is just for, like Arsenio Hall would say, things that make you go, Even though he's off the air now. Let's see. Leviticus. It's Leviticus. I have to flip for a minute. I think it's 16. Nope, it's not 16. It must be 6. Yes, Leviticus 6. When I read this, I want you to think about the garden. 16:6. Six. Leviticus 6. We'll just start in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship. Let me go back. If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in anything taken away by violence, or have deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. When God put Adam in the garden, he told him to do what?
Keep it.
To dress it and what?
Keep it.
And keep it, okay. He says, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. Okay. He shall even restore it in the principle, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he had done in trespassing therein. Okay. I'm just putting it out there for you to think about this. I didn't flesh this out. It's just something for you to think of. He says, if the man sinned, if he's given something to you to keep, right? He says, this delivered you to keep. Adam's in the garden. Really, That's his headquarters. You agree with that? He says, if you fall in your keeping, he says, first thing you're going to do is you got to pay it back in principle. That means if you gave this away, then you got to get it back. And then add the fifth part to it.
20%.
Well, more like, I'm thinking fifth part is more like, the five is, you know, they say grace.
Grace or death.
But, right. So the day that he sinned, he said, the day that you sin, you shall surely die. And not only does he die, but he loses. So now he says, you have to give it to the priest, to the man that it appertained to. Well, who does it belong to? Okay, so he goes back and he's happened to be the priest too, and God makes what? A sacrifice. He clothes him with what? Right. So it's now his back, right? And, but here it is. Yeah, so there's, that's why I said, but even though it's, he's giving it, it's back to God's, but that transaction wasn't complete. Because Satan obviously began, he usurped it. And not only, now he's lost that, so now there's a, it's God's responsibility to get it back. If he wants it back. So he, so you have a, as you're going on in history, what you see is recoveries. That it looks like they're failed recoveries. But because it's been stolen, the thief thinks that he has it, but he doesn't know that there was always a plan against theft.
A mystery that he didn't know about.
You know how people steal from the company and they don't know it, they're on camera?
Yeah.
He said, we have a safeguard in place for people who steal, just in case. Anyway, don't just, that was something that caught my attention. Don't give it a whole lot of thought. Just so Romans, he says, I didn't say don't give it thought. I said don't give it a whole lot of thought. But he says, what's known of God is manifest in them. For God hath revealed it unto him, so that, he says, they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. He says, when they knew God, because he revealed himself to them, he revealed his eternal power in Godhead through the creation. Through the creation to the creation. Remember last couple of weeks ago said from faith to faith? He says from the thing to be believed, he revealed it from faith to faith to the person that should be, that should believe it. So this is what should be believed. The message that you see here, it should be received and believed by you. He said, because I've revealed it to you. And so next week, we're going to find out if it's the message up there, or if man is accountable to it, well, what is it? So you can't say that You can't say who hath believed our report if you never reported it. Like he says, how can the man believe except he hear? Right? How can he hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? So God sent a message that man was, he was to believe and in turn worship and serve the Creator, not the creature. And he says, well, because you have this message, he said, well, they have not all. He said, yeah, they heard. They heard it.
They did not all believe.
Matter of fact, look at Romans. We're going to stop at this. Romans 10. Man, this, you just can't beat this. I don't know if y'all, I mean, this, it might seem like a lot, but it's not a lot. It's really not. 10, wait a minute. Oh yeah, 10, 15. Verse, he says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Watch this. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Whose sound?
The word.
Whose voice?
God.
He says, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. This is Paul telling the Jew that they were without excuse because the message went out to them and they had an opportunity to hear. They had an opportunity to believe because God had sent it to them. And Paul is writing about the Jews preaching to the Jews. But he quotes a verse from Psalm 19. Now, go back to there, then we're going to stop. Psalm 19. He says, their line, right, went out. Verse 19, or Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. Declare. No man has seen God at any time. But he became flesh and put on a body. And he says that when the Lord came, he says he had come to declare. Remember that? But anyway, here he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, etc. But he talks about their speech, their line, their words. Sound familiar? Speech, the line, the words. He said, you know what? Everybody heard this gospel. Everybody, right? Everybody heard this message. They had a chance to believe it. Find out next week by the ditch. So let's stop there. Verse, we'll pick up at verse Romans 1, verse. I'm sorry, flipping back here. We'll start at 20. We'll just start at 20 and then progress from there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. We pray that you might continue to open our understanding as we read and believe the things that you have written, as it equips us in our worship and service of you today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.